Have you ever wondered, is there more to the Word of God than just words on the page? Join us for an in-depth journey into the truth of God by means of open Socratic conversation. In Proverbs chapter 2, the Word of God says, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Welcome to Hidden Treasures Revealed. Good evening, everyone. Back for another edition of Hidden Treasures Revealed. Hope everybody had a great day. It was a very good day here. Past 2 weeks, we've been talking about, is it possible to lose your salvation, abandon your salvation? I'm going to put that to the side for now. That's something that may come back to it another time. We're going to talk tonight about something that came to mind for me over the weekend and having time with Mother, the Holy Spirit, asking her, what did she want us to talk about for the next podcast? Because we've said this several times that the podcast isn't about us leading it to what we're doing, what we think should be done. It's what Mother says. And this is an interesting aspect of faith. It's a huge aspect of faith in God, and that's talking about prayer. And in the world, prayer is mentioned a lot. You know, I have you in my thoughts and prayers, and, you know, praying for you, or, you know, I want you to pray for me. And just came to mind that this is something that people may not think much about. You may not be really thinking about in detail what prayer is, what prayer isn't. And so we're just going to get into prayer and talk about it. And even as we were driving over here, I was thinking about the different aspects of prayer. Prayer is conversation with Yah. And we were actually given by Mother revelation on, from their perspective, what prayer actually is. And we'll be talking about this, breaking this down. That when you hear the word prayer from the aspect of Yah, prayer means conversational relationship. And you can break that down into two words. You have conversational, you know, meaning conversation, relationship. Just like me and Phil, you're sitting in front of me, that you and I have had many conversations about faith in God, about other things, but we also have a relationship. We relate to each other. And this is where we started, even before that we were called by Yah to start a church, that we had on Tuesday nights, we had a prayer time that I was invited to and went on for several years, where we would have time where we would discuss the Word of God. We would have Socratic conversation. We would go back and forth talking about the Word, looking into it, asking questions. And then we had a separate time where we would have a quiet time where we would talk to God. We would have, each of us would have a time to talk out loud, and we would take turns in doing that. And it was just a really fulfilling thing, being able to have time to really meditate on the Word of God and then actually talk to God and have that quiet time. And a lot of it, even with me at times, is you will talk at Yah, but not necessarily give time for them to respond, because for somebody to have a conversation, for me and you to have a conversation, you and I would have to know each other's voice, know what we sound like. You know, because if I say, well, I talk to Phil pretty regularly, but I don't know what his voice sounds like. Well, people would look at that as odd. Well, how do you know how can you have a conversation with somebody if you don't hear their voice. How many of those listening have you actually heard the voice of God? Now, I'm not saying you read the Word of God and they speak to you through their Word, but have you actually heard the voice of God? Have you heard the voice of Abba? Have you heard the voice of Yeshua? Have you heard the voice of Mother the Spirit? And ultimately, going on the path of seeking with all your heart, you have the ability to hear their voice audibly. And yes, you will hear their voice through discernment. You will hear their voice through reading the Word, because their words are on the page, that they will speak to you through that. But ultimately, Yah wants it to be hearing their audible voice and people conversing with them, but also through what's referred to as ESP, extrasensory perception, where you hear them through discernment, through thinking about the Word and rolling it in your mind, and something will come to mind, and you hear their voice through the truth. So this isn't just like me speaking in the speaker here. It's not just me speaking and that's it. In order to have a conversation, there has to be time for the other person to respond. And I know for me, even have times in my faith that I find myself just doing talking and not really listening for Yah to respond. And it's definitely a practice. So prayer really is a practice. It's something that, just like anything, you have to work on it and practice to get into a good practice of it. But very important as pursuing faith and being in faith to have that conversational relationship with Yah, where you hear their voice, because we have a scripture in the New Testament where Yeshua, the Son of God, says, you know, I speak out to the sheep and my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Well, it's important that we know the voice of the one that we serve, because there's someone else, the enemy of God, that speaks as well in the heavenly realms, that you can hear their voice as well. So prayer isn't just with God. It can be with the enemy as well, because prayer is conversational relationship. Now, the key is to have that conversational relationship with Yah and not with the enemy of God, but before faith. There's all kinds of conversations going on. You have conversations in your own mind. Different things are going on. So we're going to be getting into this, because it's very important, being in faith, that you have prayer, that you do constantly communicate with Yah, and Yah communicating with you as well.
Yeah, and it's important when we talk about prayer to recognize that you have voices that are talking to you. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's the old way of, well, if you're hearing voices, then you're crazy. Where it's actually quite the opposite. If you're not hearing voices, more than likely you're crazy. Because, and again, that's not scientific. That's just, the reality is that you hear voices, and people don't want to talk about hearing those voices, because they're going to be looked at as though they're crazy. And when you look at this from just in what people have been taught in this world today about prayer, that you tell people that you hear the voice of God and they look at you like you're strange or you're crazy, like God doesn't talk to his people. We have countless places all throughout the whole Bible that show that God desires conversation and relationship with the people of earth. It's just that too many times the voices that we're listening to are the voices of the enemy, not the voice of God. And a lot of it, again, goes back to the programming that we've had and the mind control and what you've been taught. And if you're taught that if you hear voices, then you're crazy, and especially if you hear the voices of God, you're crazy, then you're not going to, you're going to kind of just push it aside and not think about it. But you don't realize that the predominant voice you hear when you don't have circumcision of the heart, it's the enemy. Now, I'm not going to say that God doesn't slip through at times, because God wants to call everybody to faith, and so they will call people. But if you're used to listening to the voice of the enemy, it's going to be difficult for you to pick out the voice of God. So it's like, if you and I have a conversation and we continually converse and we do it for years, I can be in a room that you're in and have no idea that you're there. But as soon as you start speaking, oh, Sean's here. And I'll turn my head and I'll look and see where it's coming from, because I recognize your voice. Why? Because I spent time talking to you and listening, because you hear somebody else's voice when you actually listen to them. And you listen in a way that is got your mind going over what they're saying, not thinking about what you have to say to whatever they're talking about, but you're trying to really understand what they're saying, why they're saying it, where they're coming from. And that's a listening aspect. And we've talked about listening in our gatherings, that people, and including us, we're in the process of changing this, in the process of perfection. You start learning how to actually listen to people and listen to understand, not listen to respond. Because what happens is you start listening to somebody, and as soon as they hit something that you think they said wrong, or you've got something to say about it, you stop listening to what they say, and now you're rolling over in your mind what your response to what that thing they said, and therefore you can't understand everything that they were saying, because you missed a whole lot of stuff. And then you turn around because you want to be heard, and you just go into your explanation of whatever it is instead of, no, listen. And listening takes evaluation, and it takes rolling things in your mind. And this works with the faith of God, that, you know, you want to test the spirits to make sure that it's God speaking to you and not the enemy. And why would God in James tell you to test the spirits if God knows that you're going to hear their voice over top of the evil voices? And no, God says, no, you need to get to know my voice so that when I talk to you, you'll hear it. And the objective goal is that you will obey it.
Just thinking about the words that I just spoke about, conversational relationship, it's an ongoing thing, because you say the word conversation, it has action in it. Like if you and I are speaking now, I can converse with you, meaning just like a verse, I say something, you say something back, and we're going back and forth with sentences talking to each other. But it's not just the talking, it's the relating to. And we were getting into this last time with Hebrews, that Yeshua Messiah was made in every way just like us, yet without sin, because at the age of accountability, when he came to the realization of knowing the right from the wrong, he chose obedience to God where we chose sin. And that's the only difference. He had the sinful nature in him, but he didn't commit a sin, because when he came to the knowledge of obedience, disobedience, he chose the obedience. So now in him, we can now be reconciled to God through our sacrifice, where because he's the one that went first, that in him that we're reconciled to God. And you think about that relationship, that Messiah came so that we could relate to God. So the best way to have the best, and as you go in the journey, seeking with all your heart, and you come to the point of repentance and obedience and trust and continuing in that circular, ever-increasing practicing, growing, you'll start out, and it'll start out where you'll, all right, I'm going to talk to God, and you'll talk, and you don't hear anything in your perception because your brainwashing and mind control says, well, I'm speaking to you. You're supposed to respond immediately. Well, sometimes you talk to Yah that they'll respond immediately. Other times they won't. But their response doesn't mean that they're not talking. It's just, okay, well, I'm testing you, allowing you to see, how bad do you really want to hear my voice? Are you just kind of doing it just to see and you really don't want it? Or, you know, how much are you into this? And then, okay, well, I see that you're serious. So I'll bring some things to your attention. And just as the progression goes, because in the write-up of the podcast and the what I call the facilitation of where we're going to begin, that there's a scripture that says, pray without ceasing. And you could look at that and say, well, that means I've got to just be on my knees in a dark room just all day long, and I'm not supposed to stop. Well, put it this way. You go to your job without ceasing, meaning that you go through the practice, you continually do it, you don't stop. It's not something that you just start doing and you stop. It's supposed to be a way of life. It's supposed to be who you are. That the mindset is always be having conversational relationship with Yah. Don't ever stop doing that. That's the heart is always have communication with them. Communication through speaking with them and they speaking back. Communication through reading their word and meditating on it, discerning things. So Yah wants us to have that, just like in the tabernacle, you have the altar of incense, that you have that nice incense burning and you have that nice aroma. That is just always, just like if you have in your house, you have the nice potpourri or candles going and you're like, ah, oh, just such a nice smell. It's just so aromatic. That's what the prayers are, because even in Revelation, it's talking about the prayers of the saints being that sweet smelling aroma, that Yah is wanting just constant interaction with them always, not just one day a week on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or whatever, and just speaking to me, that Yah is wanting that communication all the time, because you and I aren't face to face every day of the week, but we still, things will come to mind and we still communicate, but we're not necessarily face to face all the time. You know, we speak through experiences, thoughts, different things. So this isn't just you go to God and ask them for something and that's it. Well, that's prayer. Well, no, it's meant to be more than, yes, you can ask them for things, but it's meant to be more of a relationship, not just a Yah being a personal secretary that you just go to them when you want something and you just put them aside and okay, well, that's prayer. No, it's meant to be relationship with them is the point of this.
Yeah, for too many years, I spent way too much time thinking that prayer was just, God was a genie in a bottle, and you just put your request, and well, if it came true, then you had that genie, but not actually really taking time to speak and ask for something. But in the past, I would ask for things, but they wouldn't be in accordance with God's will. They'd be in accordance with my wants and what my will was at the time. Why would God answer? Because the word says that he will give you, he will answer in accordance with his will. And so as long as you have the will of God in mind, not your own personal gain or your own personal agenda, then God will answer those prayers. And what that means is that you make sure that whatever you're talking about lines up with them and it's not a selfish motive behind it. You say the word relationship in conversational relationship, and relationship, the ship part is the continuation, the traveling in relating to somebody else. But if you're not listening to somebody else to understand them, and you're just listening to respond when you get the moment, then you can't relate to them. You have acquaintances that you have conversations with, but they are not relationships because you're not trying to relate to the other person. And I'm talking about marriages where both sides are talking and talking about what their wills are. And when my will isn't fulfilled, then I'm all upset. And when her will's not fulfilled, she's all upset. And why? Because it's all about selfishness and it's about what I want rather than, no, let me listen to her and let me roll this over in my mind and let me figure out where I can relate to that. What situations in my life took place that I could say, wow, I've experienced that same thing. And then I can truly share empathy with her and vice versa, the other way around. But if you don't listen to somebody to understand who they are, then you miss out on a whole lot because this is more an avenue of study. You study the other person so you can know who they are, know what their likes are, know what their dislikes are, figure out how you can relate to them, not how you can despise them because they're not doing what you want and fulfilling your every little whim or your every need. But it's about relating to the other person. And you can do this with God. You can relate to God. Messiah came here to be like us in every way. So whatever you feel, whatever you are going through, whatever's in your mind, Messiah can relate to that. The question is, are you seeking to relate to Messiah? Do you think Messiah was just so good when he was here that, well, he was God with us, so none of us can achieve that? So, well, no, he was born of God because he was the seed of Abba and conceived in mother, but then placed in Mary so he could come to be like us in every way. The only one thing that he chose not to do that everybody else on the face of the earth in the past and in the future to come, the difference is he chose obedience to the Father at the point of accountability, and we chose selfishness and disobedience because that's what our programming was. That's what our desires were. Was to live that life. And so when we talk about prayer with God, and I would recommend to anybody who would listen to this, change your mind away from what prayer, you know, remove the word prayer and put in, oh, I'm going to have conversational relationship. I'm going to figure out how I can relate to God. And because God truly desires to relate to you, and they can relate to you, and they relate to you through Messiah, and they and all of them, they understand, they know where you are, what you've been through, and they all have relations to that. They can all relate to it. Now, there's more depth in spiritual understanding that we're not going to go into now about that topic and about that issue, but Abba and Ema and Yahusha, they all have the ability to understand what you're going through, and therefore, they can relate to you. But are you relating to God? Are you tying yourself to God in relating to them through Messiah? And it's important because a lot of people are just waiting for God. Well, I don't hear God's voice, so you know, what's the use in praying or talking to him because he doesn't talk to me or they don't talk to me. And well, the point is, when the word says draw near to God and they will draw near to you, This is in everything. Absolutely everything. You cry out to God for insight and understanding. You cry aloud for understanding. Then God will call back to you with answers, but you may not hear them at first because you haven't tuned your voice to hear them as clearly as you can. And it's just because we have to take some time. We have to talk and then leave some time for them to respond and really tune your ear. And there'll be a struggle in the midst of this where sometimes you'll think you're the one giving the answer. Oh, well, was that me? Was that me giving that answer? You know, well, weigh it against the truth of God. Weigh it against whether you could have given that answer or not, whether you have the ability within yourself to give that answer. Because that's what I would go to. I would look at an answer that I got from God and I would be like, wow, I could have never come up with that on my own. And therefore, I know that that was from God. But we also want to be careful in the early stages before you get to recognize the voice of God is also the voice of the enemy that a lot of people haven't determined that that's the enemy speaking to them. They think it's their own thoughts. They think it's themselves talking. And they don't recognize that it's just as much the enemy, because the enemy wants to relate to you through sin and through wickedness. And let's be honest, when we had no concern for God, we wanted to relate to the things that brought us pleasure in this world. So we had no problem listening to those voices in our head, but they're not, we say that, well, Satan, that's Satan. Those voices are Satan, or not just Satan, because Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere like Yah, but you have Satan and demons doing their work. And so it's just important for people to recognize that when you talk to people, listen. And listening to somebody is rolling things in your mind as they're talking and thinking about, how does that relate to me? How can I relate to them? Because if you can find out where you relate to them, you may just be able to give them some advice or some help in a situation. Because you're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize. And it's not going to be exact. It's going to be, the situation is going to be different from yours or somebody else's. But the reality of the push in it and the outcome is the same. And so, wow, I can relate. Let me tell you how I can relate to you in this. And then here's how you can fix it. Here's how you can take care of that. And just I'll turn it back over to you in just one second, but I'm going to actually read a scripture. And this is one out of the Bible where this is God really telling people that we want conversation with you. And if you do these things, and this is one of the scriptures that I latched onto a long time ago, and continually, even now, having this same mindset of talking to God, and I'll read it. It's in Proverbs, and it's at the beginning of Proverbs, and it's just a short little section I'm going to read. But it's important because the first thing that somebody has to do, and we've talked about this, is that they have to seek God with all of their heart. If they are truly seeking God with all of their heart, they will have no problem taking this scripture into their just into their mind, into their life, and making it, this is what I'm going to do. Because this is God telling you, we want to have relationship with you, and here's how you're going to get it. Because remember, there's going to be a time where it's hard for you to hear the voice of God. It took me a long time before I started to really recognize the voice of God, and then being able to recognize the individual voices of Abba and Ima and Yahusha, the Father, Mother, and the Spirit, being able to have a distinguishing aspect, because the more you talk with them and the more you hear their voices, the more you lock it in that, okay, I recognize that that's Messiah. That's the way Messiah speaks, and that's what that came from him. I've had instances where all three of them answered at the same time, and you hear, it would be like you, me, and somebody else answering the same question at the same time with three separate different voices. And the biggest thing about this is that you can have conversation with God where you hear God's voice, but you have to position yourself. It's just like the radio dial, the old school radio dial. It's a little bit easier now with the digital setup, but when you have to used to have to turn the knob and go through the stations, the station would start to come in, and then you just continually tune until it's clear. And that's the whole same exact objective of God, but it's going to take a little bit of time. So I'll read the scripture, and then we'll go back over to you. And this is God in chapter 2 of Proverbs, at the very beginning of it. And here's what it says. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Okay, I just pause for a second and make sure that right there is the key to the next setup of verses, because you have to have your ear to wisdom and your heart set that you truly want to understand and know the things of God, and you will. And then it goes on to say, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And so just in there, that tells you God wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to hear your voice, but he wants you to hear his voice as well. It's just like if you're talking to somebody and you have something important or exciting you want to tell them, what if they never give you a moment to speak? They're always talking. They call that the gift of gab, when you have somebody who starts a conversation with you and they carry both sides of the conversation from beginning to end. And so in this aspect, God's not going to do that. They're not going to do that. They want you to approach them, turning your heart to wisdom and understanding, and then cry out for it. Because how you cry out for it shows God what your determination in finding it is. And then you will gain the wisdom of God and have the fear of the Lord. You will see God as the terror they are, and you will, as they speak to you, you choose obedience. You get to a point where you hear their voice, but God also will listen to you. But if you remain a sinner, if you sin, if you're not seeking God with all of your heart, okay, you seek God with all of your heart, and you're still going to have sin in your life until you get to circumcision of the heart. And then when you have the circumcision of the heart, then you don't have sin anymore. But prior to seeking with all of your heart, if you sin, then the word says God does not listen to sinners. It says God does not hear, but the objective is, yeah, they hear everything. But it's kind of like being in a restaurant. The other voices speaking are just murmurings because you're not paying attention to it. But God says, if you pay attention, then that's going to change. And it comes through seeking with all of your heart. And God does want that relationship. We can have it. We do have it. And we want other people to know that you can have that relationship through prayer, that you hear their voices and you recognize them.
It's just coming to mind the story about the young man when Paul was preaching that he was in the window because it had gotten through, I can't remember if it was late at night, early in the morning, and he fell out of the window because Paul was just like the Energizer Bunny, just on and on and on. And it just made me think of that the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God is just like the depths of the ocean, that we could sit here and talk about prayer and the aspect of prayer or whatever this is for hours and hours and just still have more things to talk about. And just had a few things on my mind with this that I noticed that when you were reading in Proverbs, that the reason that it must be the way it is, where Yah says, my son, if you hear my words, put them in your heart, applying your heart to understanding, that it goes back to Hebrews, and we didn't get to this in Hebrews, what's referred to a lot of times as the faith chapter, that in the, not necessarily in chapter 11, but chapter 11 highlights faith, that Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please them, because those that come to them, it talks about coming to Yah, must believe they exist and are the rewarder of those that diligently seek them. So the faith is what brings you to them to, all right, you accept their words, all right, you have faith. Then you approach them, and it's by faith that they respond. And I thought about this. Anybody ever think about this? You're laying in bed, using the example that you had. Let's say you're laying in bed and you're just crying your eyes out. You're just laying in the bed and you're just crying and crying and crying just for an hour, 2 hours, just laying there crying. And we would think, well, God's not speaking to me, so I'm not, oh, look at that. They just keep crying and crying. I guess I'm not going to be able to say anything. But we don't think about it from God's perspective of, well, I just don't understand. I'm not hearing the voice of God. Well, looks like Sean's not going to be listening for us anymore for a time. But you think about it from that side of it, well, wait a minute, let me be careful what I'm saying because they're there. And so if I'm saying that they're not hearing me or I'm not getting anything, well, I guess that this person's not going to wait for my answer. But we don't necessarily think of it from Yah's side of it. We just think, well, I'm not hearing anything, so they're not there. And, oh, well, I guess they don't want to hear from me. But because I remember Yah brought this to our attention, that make sure that you listen to yourself, because you put yourself in that position a lot of the time instead of, no, I know that by faith that God hears me, so I'm going to listen for their voice, and oh, they're waiting for me, so I'll gladly speak. There's a passage in the New Testament that I remember reciting this when I was going to church, when I was in Christianity, and it's the section, and it's probably in several Gospels, I don't know which one it is, but it's referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And people would look at that and say, well, that's the Lord's Prayer. I was thinking about this. Think about what Messiah is doing here. What he's doing is he's giving a mindset of conversational relationship with Yah. And I'll bring this to mind and think about what he's saying here. Because I remember doing this when I was going to church years ago. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's just part of it. But if I were to be, Phil, if I'm talking to you and I go, Phil, you're my friend. You've always been there. You're here every time I'm here. You always do what I ask you to do. You'd be like, Sean, stop. Why are you talking to me like that? Just talk. Well, I am talking. Messiah is not saying that when you talk to the father and the mother that you just recite this prayer. He's giving a model of relating to God, because look what he says. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Well, relate to them. Who are you talking with? You're talking to the Holy One, the perfect one. Realize who you're talking to. Have in mind that, who are you talking with? Who are you coming to? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, so it's about the will of God. It's not about what I want. It's about, yeah, What is your will? What will you have me do? I want to listen because it's about you. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, that, you know, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And just going through that, it just came to mind that God is not saying that when you go to them, you just recite this, because it's just, you could put it to the prayer of Jabez. Yah has already heard the prayer of Jabez. He wants to hear the prayer of Sean. He wants to hear the prayer of Philip, the prayer of whomever. That, yeah, you could talk to them and use that model, but they've already heard that prayer. They want to hear from you where you are. And it's just speaking to me more about, we get into this where through just repetition or tradition that, well, we just say this because this is the Lord's prayer. And yes, Messiah talked to his father and mother, because we have record that the reason he was heard, it says that he cried out on his time on earth and crying out to them, to the one who could save him from sure death. And it says he was heard. They listened to him because of his reverent submission. So you want to guarantee that you're going to be listened to by Yah? Walk as Messiah did. You walk as Messiah did. You can guarantee that you'll be heard. And even if for a time, even with his disciples, well, you have been coming to me and I'll ask the Father. All right. But there's going to be a time coming where you will go to the Father direct, meaning that when you're walking in repentance, that you're going to be talking to them, but it's going to come through me for a time. But when it goes to circumcision of the heart, the veil is taken away. You now talk face to face. So you don't need to necessarily, oh, Phil, pray for me. Why don't you pray for you? Now, there might be a moment of weakness where you would ask somebody for that, but it gets to the point where it's not necessarily about others praying for you. You talk to God and pray and talk to them to where, well, you're further ahead, so you talk to God. Well, but what's better, having that one-on-one communication, or you always go through an advocate, which we do have the advocate Messiah for a time, but it gets to the point to where the word wouldn't say that you go boldly before the throne of grace to get help in your time of need. Why? Because boldly doesn't mean arrogantly. It just means confidently. No, I'm going to go to Yah because I know they hear me and I know that I'm doing their will and they hear me. So I'm going to go before them confidently, because why do fights and quarrels come from among you? Don't you ask for things? You ask and don't receive because you ask amiss, because you want to spend it on your pleasure instead of the will of God. So you want your prayers answered. Make sure that it lines up with the will of God. But this is such a deeper thing of relationship, that it's not just blabbing on the streets or repeating what you're saying multiple times, because Messiah even said, hey, don't repeat yourself over and over. You think that Abba doesn't know what you need when you need it, and they provide what we need, but you really want to speak to them, you know, go into your inner room, close the door, go in secret, go to a place where you can give focus on them and give them time to speak, and you'll be rewarded. And that reward, conversation with them, revelation, different things. So there's so much to this. I'm just seeing this more as I'm even speaking. Messiah coming is to give us ways to relate to God, because that's what it's about. How in the world can we have any kind of benefit to talk to Yah face to face if we can't relate to them? Because if Messiah was fully God, how could we relate to a perfect being that's perfect? That how could we relate to somebody that's absolutely perfect? We couldn't. So we would have to relate to somebody that's gone through what we're going through and has overcome, and he knows. And that's why it says in Hebrews that he was the faithful and merciful high priest, because he suffered death so that he could be able to relate to us. So this is a beautiful thing, that Yah is wanting that relationship, and they, through Messiah, there's a way to relate. It's just, I just remember so many times just saying that over and over, and it's just, it's not meant to just be vainly repeated. It's meant to say, this is the mindset. When you talk with Yah, realize who you're talking with. You're not talking to a personal secretary. You're talking to the Creator, the Holy One, just be careful how you go to them.
And I want to talk about something that, you know, we talked about this in a gathering. It's been a while, but the aspect that people don't realize that a lot of things that they do, they speak into existence. You have the ability to speak things into existence. Like you have somebody who always sees the negative in something, then, well, it's everything's going to fall apart today because nothing good ever happens. And so everything that happens in that day, although it's not negative or positive, you shaped it to be negative, and therefore it's not a benefit for you. And what's interesting about it is that many people have shaped themselves. They have spoken into existence the fact that God doesn't speak to them. If I want you to speak to me and we're in the same room and we've never met, but I know who you are, and you hear me say, well, Sean, I never hear his voice. He never talks to me. I'm never there and never hear his voice. Is that going to propel you to want to have a conversation with me rather than you hear me say, yeah, that guy, Sean, I know that he's here somewhere, and I'm going to have a conversation with him tonight. I'm going to talk to him. Well, which one are you more apt to follow? And that's what people don't understand, is that there are many things in your life that happen because you speak them into existence. And you gave an example. You had mentioned the prayer of Jabez. And it's interesting because you sit there and you cry out to God, expand my territory, expand my territory. And you haven't sought after God with all of your heart, but you're doing some seeking, and you then start to have things happen that are not appropriate. And well, why? Well, your territory of wickedness and evil is being expanded. You asked for it. You asked for it to happen. And that's why it's important to recognize the will of God first and make sure it lines up with what God would want, not what I would want, because they will give you things that you ask for just to let you know that you're speaking this into existence. And I want to make sure that I'm on the path, the right path, that I know my salvation is secure. I know I don't sin. And then I'm going to ask God, and I'm going to be specific though, expand my territory in this area of sharing the truth with other people. You know, and God can do that in a way that we don't see. God could just have multiple people decide one day they're just looking through and they come across this podcast and they read it, they listen to it, and God fulfills that. However God does, I'm not going to put a boundary on it. But like you said, God wants to hear your prayer. They don't want to hear. They've already heard the prayer of Jabez, just like you said. And going back to the aspect with Messiah and Messiah's, his prayers, that Our Father that people recite, if you're doing that, please stop. Please stop doing that, because Messiah was not praying in that moment. He was giving them a verbal understanding of praise the Father. Before you ask for anything, acknowledge who they are, what they're about, and make it about them before you make it about yourself. And then at the end, he brings it back to exalting them. Kingdom, power, and glory are yours forever. So he's giving an example of what to use in your prayer. But I can promise you that if you ask Messiah, should you be repeating those words like a mantra Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I know, because I grew up Catholic, and that's like a big staple, that you talk about brainwashing and mind control. You know, I could repeat that prayer and not miss a word, just like the Niacin's Creed and the Apostles' Creed. And now I have been out of practice of it because I don't do that. And so with some of that stuff, I don't memorize it anymore. But at one point I did. And it's like somebody says, Our Father. And then automatically you go in, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it's not even a prayer. It's not intended to be a prayer from Messiah. If you want to see a prayer of Messiah, you want to see Messiah's prayers, go to the book of John, chapter 17. When Messiah was in the garden, somebody heard him praying. And would have been John Mark, the one who escaped when they grabbed onto him and he fled without his garments. He was there. He was not sleeping like Peter and the others. He heard the words. If he didn't, he would not have been able to write them down in his book, in his letter that he wrote. And so go to chapter 17. You want to see Messiah praying. He prays for himself. He prays for believers. He prays for all that will believe. It's a beautiful thing when you actually get to see him pray. But he doesn't even want you to recite that. He wants you to use it as an example. Pray for believers. Pray in similar fashion. Certainly that's what Messiah wants. They, you know, not just Messiah, but Abba and Ema as well. That they want that conversational relationship. And you got to be careful not to speak into existence the fact that God doesn't talk to people. Because if you make the statement God doesn't talk to people, what would propel God to talk to you? Because we're human. We're nothing to God. We're not anything that God needs us. And so what I would say in this is recognize your need for God and start changing your wording. Change your wording in such a way that, you know what, right now I don't hear the voice of God, but I'm going to. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to have enough conversation with them, and I'm going to stop and listen enough that I'm going to hear their voice. I'm going to hear their voice. But that's not going to do you any good if you're not seeking them with all of your heart.
Well, there's even greater depth in this. That, yes, we're talking about having a verbal conversation with them. But there's also a saying that I know I've said this in my life numerous times. Actions speak louder than words. So yes, it's conversational relationship through verbal, like we're having back and forth, but it's also, as Messiah said, that the one that hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is akin to a wise person, the one that doesn't put them into practice. So you speak to God by what you do, because it's even mentioned that, you know, let your light shine before men, that they see your good conduct and they praise the Father and the Mother in heaven. So walking in obedience to Yah, walking in repentance and trust, through what we do, walking in the truth, we're speaking constantly to Yah through our actions as well, not just our words verbally, but we speak in our actions as well. Because how does that show God that we believe, that we obey their commands, and we speak verbally through our actions, throughout our whole life? So it's not just, well, prayer is just when I go into a room and I'm just by myself, but it's you're working during the day and somebody says something to you and you respond in an appropriate manner. Well, I'm not literally speaking face to face with you now, but wow, I'm speaking to Yah because wow, that shows that I believe in them because I'm actually walking in their truth. And the evidence of that is my good behavior, my good conduct. So it shows God even through our actions, that constant communication. Because we have a beautiful picture, and I brought this up a little earlier, that in the tabernacle, you had the altar of incense, which is referred to as, you know, the prayers, that in Messiah, being in the new covenant, that the veil is torn, that the praying without ceasing is, you could look at that as the altar of incense is there continually burning, and the appropriate incense is Messiah, and being in him, that to Yah, the conversation, the back and forth is that sweet smelling aroma that, you know, you've been in your house or somewhere and you walk in and you just have that, oh, well, I smell, you know, steaks cooking, or I smell beans are cooking or something, or whatever aroma, you know, some people like the peppermint or the lemon or whatever scents, but you get that sense and it just brings a joy to your heart, just a calm, oh man, this is just, I just really want this. I desire this. And that's what the prayers of the saints are referred to before the throne, is like, it's that sweet smelling aroma. So make sure that we line your, well, we being as the body of believers, but you line yourself up to where you're a sweet smelling aroma to Yah, that going into their presence, that it's not a smell, an awful smell, which would be that sin nature that is detestable, but be that nice, sweet smelling aroma of the true faith in Messiah, that it's a joy and a pleasure to be in the presence of Yah. And I thought about this when you're speaking about talking to God, like the way Messiah was talking to God and giving them the praise and the glory. Well, Yah will reverse that on you, that they will make it about you. So you ever think about that, that, wow, that Yah will make things about you when you make it about them, and they will heal your land and they will do things, and you would think, well, gosh, Yah, I don't deserve what you're doing for me. Yeah, but I want to do this for you because you've done this for me. So that Yah will come back and give you praise, and people think, well, how could that be? Well, it has to be, because you being a part of them, being in them with the fullness of faith, that they will reciprocate back to you.
And just, you know, just want to interject here, this, the humility is an important thing. Now, if you're doing it just because you're expecting God to do it back for you, they're going to know that, and that's not going to benefit you. So the humility in it is a big part as well, because it's just a shame that there are many, many people that don't know that they can hear the voice of God. That, you know, with mother standing on the street corner crying aloud, many people don't hear it because, especially in this day and age, they don't think that they can. They go on a feeling. You know, well, the Lord put it on my heart to do this. Or, you know, I feel that God wants me to do this. Well, your feelings, first off, your heart is wicked above all things, because until you have the circumcision of the heart, it's all wickedness. So God can't put anything on your heart. They can only put it in your mind until you have circumcision of the heart, where you, it can be transformed to your heart. So it's just really important that having the relationship with God gives you the ability to talk to them, but you also have to be willing to accept the answers that they give you. You have to be willing to, because you may ask for something and the answer may be no. You know, you had this happen before where you asked God a question about the New Jerusalem, and what was their reply to you?
They told me very clearly, not for you to know right now. They didn't say I couldn't ever know, but just for, and it was like, okay.
Right, but that's a voice speaking to you, God. So you take away the fact that, well, that was rude. They didn't know. I actually heard their voices tell me that, well, it's not for you to know right now, which is true. It's some things, like when you're seeking with all of your heart, there are some things that are deeper in faith that you can't understand. And so they won't even be brought to your attention until you have circumcision of the heart, where you have mother in you, and you have the ability then to understand. That's a huge aspect and reality. And so we want to encourage you, if you're listening, that one, when you have conversation with God, leave time for them to talk. Leave room and just listen. So what if you don't hear them at first? More than likely, you're not going to hear them at first, because God's going to want to see, are you going to still be persistent? Are you still going to believe that you can hear their voice, and that one day you will hear their voice, even if it has to be in the kingdom, but you will hear their voice? And so they'll put you through a test to see, are you going to give up just because you don't hear their voice? Are you, you know, because if you truly recognize that they exist, they talk to people, and Messiah himself, they spoke to him, and we're supposed to walk as he did. He spoke with them. He cried out to them, and they spoke back because his words, I do everything the Father tells me to do. He didn't say, well, I do everything I feel like God wants me to do. No, he said, I do everything the Father tells me to, which means the Father was having conversation with Messiah. And if we're told that he's the example that we can follow in his footsteps, that anybody who claims to be in him must walk as he did, then guess what? Then you must have this conversational relationship with God where you are able to hear their voice, you're able to recognize their voice. But it takes practice. It takes time. Me, I played the drums when I was younger, and when I was learning, I had to learn how to hold the sticks before I even could touch the drum pad. I didn't get a drum right away. You get the drum pad, and you start working on it. And then as you build up your skills, you get better and better and better and better at it. And it works the same way with God. The more you practice having conversation with God and stopping and actually listening to their voice and recognizing it, then you will get better at hearing them speak to you. And I want to bring this out because it's hugely important for people. When you're having that quiet time with God, and I suggest people to start with, do a consistent quiet time, even if it's for 10 minutes, once a week. Make sure it's consistent, and make sure that nothing, absolutely nothing, is going to divert you from that time spent, even if it's just 10 minutes. Even if it's just 5 minutes, but you do it consistently and do it because you want to do it, then it will grow. It will get longer and longer. And the key is to get to where you pray without ceasing. And I want to give this other piece of advice as well. When you're having that conversation with them, close your eyes and picture that you're right there in the room with them. Yes, they have the form of man and woman, so you can picture a man sitting in front of you. You won't be able to put facial features to it to be able to recognize, because we can't see the face of God and live. Now, Stephen, he saw the face of God, but he was killed in the stoning, and so it was no problem. But you can see the silhouette of God. And it's easier to talk to somebody if you picture them right there with you. It's easier for me to go to God throughout my day when I recognize that they're with me all day long, that I don't need to be in a quiet space. But you have to start there. You have to start. If you can't find God in the quiet space, you're not going to find God in the busyness of everyday life. It's an impossibility. And so you have to start, and quiet time is a good way to start. And then, like I said, you just make sure that you want to have conversation with God. You want to hear their voice, and prove to them through consistency and the fact that you're not going to let anything interrupt that time. Whether it be a husband, a wife, kids, you know, if you have to leave the house for 10 minutes, sit in your vehicle, drive down the road, park in a spot where it's quiet away from everything, but do it consistent. Do it more often. When you are consistent at it, when years go down the road, then there may be something that comes up that you do instead of the prayer time, but your mindset is, no, I'm going to make sure that next time I make it clear to this person that I can't do it at that time because this time is set aside for God. You don't have to do that so much when you pray unceasingly, when you're able to find them and talk to them in the busyness and the chaos of everyday life. And when you do that, you have such a great helper right there with you. That's all you have to do is say, yeah, I've got this struggle right now and I need your help. Will you help me? And they'll give you the help. Unless there's a greater reason, you have to continue through that struggle. And then the help is, we'll figure out why we didn't step in and take this away. But God is a God who wants to have relationship with their people and not just waiting for the day we come into the kingdom to have it. They want to have it with us now. And so you can do it. It's something that is very doable, but you've got to stop telling yourself, well, I don't hear their voices. I don't hear their voices, and God doesn't talk to me. God doesn't talk to me. Talk about it in a way that will draw them to you. Man, you know what? I'm going to make a consistent prayer time because I want to hear the voice of God. I want to be able to hear their voice, know it for sure, and know it's them. And that's what I'm going to do. Well, you're speaking that, and God says, wow, okay. Well, let's see. Let's see. Are you going to be consistent in it? Do you really mean this? Because even before I met you, Sean, I was doing prayer time 9 o'clock, five nights a week. That's what I had set. I had set 5 nights a week at 9 o'clock because, one, it was after our kids were in bed. And so I knew it didn't interfere with that aspect. And two, I left the house and had that prayer time, but it was consistent. And there were times where I'd have a day where I fell asleep on the couch and it's 8:50 and like, no, I said I'm going to do this and it's beneficial. I'm going to do it. And then I'd get up and I'd go. And it's interesting because those times were the best times of conversation and relationship to God because there was sacrifice involved. And God doesn't prefer the sacrifice of bulls and goats, but they do prefer your sacrifice, your spiritual sacrifices to them, which is, no, I said I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it continually. And I'm going to do this until I see that it's working and I hear their voices speaking to me.
There's a reason why when you go to Yah, and just ask you this because I know my answer, that when you first went to them and had prayer time, did you hear a voice immediately?
No.
And I didn't either, but I was just thinking how it makes sense as to why. Not that, of course, Yah has the ability to speak immediately, but it's even on this podcast, and we just talked about discovery, just like you playing the drums. The reason why they gave you the pad is because they know from experience, if there's no pad there, you're just going to bang and bang and bang, and there's noise, but you don't get to discover what does it really sound like to play the snare drum at a really good level, that it doesn't sound like a big thing of noise. It actually sounds like if you get a really good drum roll in a song, I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. I was listening to a piece of music a few days ago and I was like, wow, just like the closed roll in this march is just, wow, it's just so consistent and it sounds so good. But I've been in the beginning band class where you get the sticks, you're banging on the wall, you're banging on the floor, the chairs, and oh no, we're not doing that because you're going to discover. I'm going to show you so you can discover. And that's the thing is, if we were to go to Yah the very first time and you just ask them and they respond, oh, well, they respond immediately and you start getting prideful. Well, God will just answer me whenever I ask. And I've just got, you know, Yah on a leash. And it's like, a lot of it is because of the programming, the brainwashing and mind control. You have so much noise in your own brain that it's not that they're not speaking, but it's just like, Yah is this whisper. But you've got so much noise and thoughts and programming and I don't hear anything. Well, it's just like if you were to turn your music full blast and I'm just talking like this and I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm just going to be like this. And then all of a sudden you turn that music off. Wow, I can hear you clearly. Yeah, because you're tuning out. So it's not just a practice of hearing their voice. It's a practice of tuning out the world and the programming to where, no, I'm going to listen and find this voice, because as you fine tune, like you said, the old school radio, I remember like you would turn the dial like on the AM side at night and you hear like all kinds of, you could hear foreign countries and you're just moving just so slightly. But then right when you hit it, oh, I can hear it now, but you move it just slightly, it goes away. And it's just, it's about tuning in and finding that to where you can, wow, I can hear this. So it's a process of, Yah is speaking, but they're just wanting us to put in the work to tune them in. So it just made me think if they want us to discover, because think about it, if you keep on at it and then once you discover it, wow, I never realized that was the voice of God. And the Bible even gives you a test, like God even puts it out there. Okay, for at the beginning, it tells you that let's test the spirits. You know, any spirit that doesn't acknowledge that Yeshua is the Son of God. Okay, so you could ask the spirit, you hear a spirit, well, did Yeshua come in the flesh? Well, I'm not hearing anything. So this is a beginning test. But as you go, that, okay, well, I don't need to necessarily say that, because remember, for a time we would rebuke any evil to go away. But then for a time, well, you don't, for a time that it wasn't us that was rebuking, it was God rebuking the evil so that we could hear. But okay, but now, all right, they were gone for a time, but now they're going to stay here and you're going to focus yourself to where we're going to do that for a time, but it's going to get to a point where you're going to tune it out and ignore it. Because we were even told, I remember specifically as a gathering, stop listening to the enemy. Well, stop listening to that voice and doing what the enemy says, do what God says. So this is there's so much depth to this. But I would even encourage those that are listening, it could be maybe a couple people that get together. Let's just say you're at your church and you want to have a prayer time that you have some time at night. Like we started meeting at 9 o'clock on Tuesday. You have somebody that has access to the building, you know, somebody gives you access. Find a quiet place that you can just have conversation and have some prayer time. Just start there. That's where we started. Seek after the truth of God with all your heart. Yah very well being there, well, they could have more churches start up. And because the key is seeking God with all your heart, not seeking what the world does, what the church in the world does, but seek God, seek the truth. And that just interesting, we're talking about this is because this is where we started. And we had met for quite a while before God called us to this, to actually starting a church. But, you know, just talk out scripture. Don't look at it to where you try to prove somebody wrong. Just study to find the truth of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know, who cares what other people say? What does the word of God say? Does it, what we're talking about, line up with what that says? What does God say? You know, just as an encouragement, and because God does definitely want this relationship with people, especially through their son.
Oh, agreed. Spoken mother to your mouth. So tonight we've spoken about prayer. We've talked about it. I've had a couple scriptures come up. I'm going to close us out for this evening. And I'm going to close us out by praying. I'm just going to have some conversational relationship with Yah in this aspect. You know, if you're listening or you listen to this podcast down the road, you just listen for the voice of God. Listen for them speaking to you in whatever way they would speak. And so I'm just going to take a moment here and I'm just going to have a little bit of prayer, just kind of give an example of what prayer is. And for those listening, find that place where you hear the voice of God and don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give up, because it's there and you can do it and you will do it. Yeah, I just come to you right now. Just I praise you for who you are. Just thankful for everything in my life. And when I say everything, everything, the struggles, the good times, it's all there for a purpose. And you know what that purpose is. And as long as you're allowing it to happen in my life, I'm thankful for it, because it's teaching me something. It's showing me something that I need to have or I need to do. And that's what you do it for. And yeah, just Abba, Ema, and Yahusha, just the gratitude for what you have done, who you are. It's really about who you are before it's about what you've done. And the thanksgiving that you have grace and mercy for us, though we had no concern for you in our lives and past. And yeah, I just want to lift up those that are listening, those that hear the podcast, that they would know it's you, it's your truth, it's your voice. And yeah, I pray that as they carry out the things that the Bible says, as they seek you with all of their heart, that I know without fail, you will hear them and you will speak to them and you will let them hear your voice. You will let them hear in a way that they have never heard before. And yeah, I just ask you to just do whatever it takes for those listening, for them to be able to hear your voice. And if they act on it, they will see a blessed place like they've never seen before in their life. And I just ask you to bless all of those that are listening. I ask you to bless all believers that have circumcision of the heart, true to you, that you would bless them as well, that you would bless marriages, the children, that you would just touch the lives of these people, that they would know the greatness of your life, your connection, your love, and your grace. So yeah, I just close this out with the beauty of who you are. And that your will be done so that we will walk in your will and it will be done for us as well. Yah, I just praise you and glorify you and thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Hidden Treasures Revealed. We want to leave you with this thought. The greatest treasure in life, and especially in faith, is discovery. If we try to convince you of things, You may gain head knowledge, but if we let you discover things, you will have heart knowledge to know and understand and be able to give a good answer for the faith that you have. Treasure hunters seek treasure nonstop. Seek the treasure of God through conversation with them and through their word. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek the hidden treasure of God, and you will be blessed by it.